Scripture passage today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it.
Good morning. It's good to be here, and I bring you greetings from the churches and members of the United Church of Christ in Kansas and Oklahoma. I'm well aware that I am actually in the congregation, the home congregation of my boss, and that is Mark Van Dorn, who's the president of the conference. And I thank you for the ways this congregation has nurtured him and the leadership he provides for the conference. You know, one of the things I've noticed this morning, I'm in a lot of churches, basically one every Sunday. Sometimes, one time I went to three churches on a Sunday. But this is the congregation that is probably collectively the youngest of all of our congregations. I look out here and not everybody is, or most of you, are not 65 or plus, and that's being generous. So I'm actually kind of assuming that because you're not long-time members of the United Church of Christ, that maybe you don't know as much about the United Church of Christ and this body of Christ that you are a member of. So I hope that my time here today will both inspire you for who you are and actually encourage you as well. As I do in every congregation I'm in, I thank you for your support of OCWM, our church's wider mission. Now, how many of you know what that is? Okay, not everybody. OCWM is the basic mission funding that local churches give to support the Ministry of Conferences and the wider offices of the United Church of Christ. And in 2013, we received $18,150 in OCWM from this congregation. And you are one of our flagship congregations in your support of OCWM. Now, that's a lot of money for this congregation. And because it is, I want to make sure that you know what difference that money makes. Part of your OCWM dollars stay in Kansas and Oklahoma. And they support campus ministry on five campuses, ecumenical ministries in Kansas, and the Oklahoma Council of Churches. Your dollars make programs like the Church Money and Management Seminar that we had earlier this year and New Beginnings possible, as well as supports conference communications through the KO website and the e-news. Your OCWM dollars will send delegates to the General Senate next year in Cleveland. And everything I do, from traveling to preach on Sunday mornings to working with pastors and church councils, are made possible by your dollars. To name something very concrete, because of your OCWM dollars, I have been able to work closely with seven congregations this year who have called new pastoral leadership. And you will be doing that here pretty soon. So when I say that those dollars support everything I do, I mean everything. The OCWM dollars that you give that goes to the national offices support the ministry of the United Church of Christ around the world. The Still Speaking devotionals that can arrive in your email box each morning, they support 270 mission partners and 111 missionaries in 70 countries around the world. Your dollars help support the National Youth Event, where 3,000 youth explore their faith and supports the UCC speaking out for the voiceless and marginalized in the halls of Washington. You may have heard about the legal case that the UCC filed this past spring in North Carolina, challenging the law that made it a criminal offense for pastors to perform even religious marriage ceremonies for same-gender couples. The UCC filed a lawsuit challenging that law as it infringed on the rights of our UCC pastors to exercise freedom of religion. And just a little over a week ago, we learned that we won that lawsuit. Your gifts to OCWM helped make that possible. So you see, your $18,000 plus join with gifts from churches across the country and make a difference in the lives of people you will likely never know or meet. And it's one way that you spread your ministry, spread the gospel to all the world. So I thank you for your support. Now, this isn't my first time here. I hear in Oklahoma they're used to saying, this isn't my first rodeo. It is my first rodeo. You have served as a host church for a few things, and in the 18 months since I've been conference minister here, each time I have been warmly welcomed and appreciative of your generosity of spirit. But this is the first time I've been invited to preach, and I want to thank Victor for the invitation, even in his absence. While it would save me a lot of time, I haven't mastered the skill of just having a stump sermon that I use in every church I'm in. Because I feel like I get one shot at a congregation as a captive audience. And I want to speak specifically, at least, to where I think that congregation is. So when Victor asked me for a text, I sent the text you heard just a few minutes ago. For you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. This is a familiar scripture to many, and I like it because, unlike some texts, it's really easy to understand and relate to. We all have bodies, so Paul's use of the body as a metaphor for who we are as the church and as Christians is easy to understand. And I want to use it this morning for a couple of reasons. The first is to talk about you as individual members of this congregation. And then the second is to talk with you about this congregation. And finally, about our relationship and covenant as the wider church. You know, before we even get to the verse that the verses that were read this morning, Paul is explaining and reminding the church in Corinth about spiritual gifts, saying that there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. He goes on then to talk about the body as a concrete example for us to understand our relationship with one another. Paul is reminding us of what we already know about our own bodies. The body works because every member plays its part. We all know what it's like when one part of our body doesn't work, or it's injured, or sprained, or tired, or whatever. We need to compensate somehow. I need a knee replacement on my left knee, and I've put it off, and put it off, and put it off. So the reality is that my right leg is overworked, compensating for the weakness on my left. So I've been thinking about that in the context of the Church of the Open Arms. In fact, many churches. In the churches I have belonged to, the reality is that the majority of the members go to church on Sunday, and only a few people are actually involved and engaged beyond Sunday morning. That's true for most volunteer organizations. A few people are in the hub or core of the organization. And generally speaking, I think that's okay, and it's even understandable. While I have an interest in many things and support many organizations, I am not equally passionate about all of them. Some things I support, and some things I support and really care about. So I get it. It's unrealistic to expect that everyone will feel the same level of commitment or passion for everything. But when I think about the church and run into this passage, I begin to wonder about that a bit. For you, we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. That means that this body, Church of the Open Arms, needs every one of you to be in ministry in some way. not only because you are members of the body of Christ, but because we are all called to be in ministry and service to the world. And Open Arms needs you. And if for some reason you don't think you have anything to offer, remember Paul's words that come just before we get to this part of Scripture. He says, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit. That's a gift of some kind. We all have gifts, and my guess is that you use them every day. You may be good at public speaking, or you're great at organizing something. You're good with kids, or you're artistic. You like working with numbers, or you're good at writing, or you have a whiz, or you're a whiz at technology, or are good at music or playing an instrument. The list of gifts is endless. My mother used to say someone had a knack for something. Well, that knack is a God-given gift. And if you haven't taken the time to identify and claim the gifts that God has given you, I hope you will, because they are precious and they have been given to you to make a difference in the world. You likely do this already in your professional and personal lives. You know, in the years since I've been in the church, I have been struck by lay people who don't think that what they have to offer professionally is needed in the church. Lay people kind of check their gifts at the door, as if the church is an organization that somehow is exempt from needing what they have to offer. So let me say that again. The church needs you. It needs your imagination, your creativity, your ability to crunch numbers, your passion for justice, your love of children, your ability to write, your business acumen, your ability to think about and create new ways of doing old jobs, your gift of dreaming. God has given you each incredible gifts, and your gifts are needed in this particular body of Christ. You know, everybody can't and doesn't need to do everything and be involved in everything. But I wonder if your gifts are being used in this church. I wonder how you're using your gifts to spread the good news of our still speaking God. For you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So this text is a reminder to us as individuals, and I think Paul is also speaking to you as a congregation, the gathered corporate body, if you will, of Church of the Open Arms. You are also part of the body of Christ. But you're also part of something larger. You're a member of the Kansas-Oklahoma Conference and the United Church of Christ. And the United Church of Christ needs you to be a strong witness here in Oklahoma City. According to the UCC yearbook, which tracks data that's reported by congregations, this church was formed in 1997 and has 425 members, with an average of 110 people worshiping on Sunday morning. Really? When is the last time you took stock of who you are and where you're headed? A lot has changed in this world and in this community since 1997. And what does that say to you about this congregation and its ministry here? How can you be more effective in spreading the good news of the still speaking God to this community? What does it mean to reach out to those who are on the margins and welcome them into this community of faith? How is it that you go out into the community with the good news of God's extravagant welcome? And after people get here and maybe even join you on this journey, how willing are you to let them change who you are? How do you support them into becoming better, more faithful disciples of the risen Christ along the way? In case you haven't heard, Oklahoma needs a progressive Christian church, as many as they can get. And you can be an even stronger witness as a stronger congregation. And that means being willing to look closely at who you are, how you are organized and functioning, what's working, and how you do what you do. How willing are you to let go of what isn't working to make room for something that is? Last weekend, you heard earlier that five of your members were at the leadership training event in the New Beginnings program, and that's a program that 13 other congregations are a part of. Soon, you heard that also, they will be leading and inviting you to be part of a number of conversations, asking you to think and pray and dream and discern where God is calling this congregation to go and to be in the years to come. This is both a crucial and an exciting time in the life of this congregation. A search committee will be formed, and along with the New Beginnings program, this is an opportunity to engage the congregation into shaping a vision that meets the needs of a changed and changing world. And it needs all of you to be part of this conversation. You know, really thinking and praying and talking about the future is a tall order. And maybe you're wondering how you will know what the right thing is to do or the right direction that this congregation should be headed. Who really says and who really knows what's right? Well, in the UCC, the congregation makes the final decision. So as a congregation, you decide. No one is going to tell you what you must do. But I hope that the decisions about your future ministry here are rooted in who you have chosen to be, and that is a congregation of the United Church of Christ. The wider UCC is another part to the body of Christ, and we need you to be called to a greater vision. But you know, I think you need us too. You need to be encouraged by knowing you are not alone on this journey. You are called to spread the gospel, not just in Oklahoma or Oklahoma City, but to all the world. And you cannot do that by yourself. No church can. I don't care how big they are or how many resources they have. So you are a part of the body of Christ that is the United Church of Christ as a way that helps you extend your ministry beyond this community. And I hope that you will let that legacy, that history, that tradition be a guide and foundation for the conversations about the future. Now, if you know much about the history of the UCC, then you know that making a difference in our communities and the world is part of our DNA. Our predecessors started schools for freed slaves, and they gathered in Old South Church in Boston to protest an unfair tax that resulted in the Boston Tea Party. While some denominations still question the role of women in the church, our predecessor denominations ordained the first woman in 1864, affirming that God's call comes to all, male and female. In 1970, the role of women in the world was questioned, and the General Synod responded by encouraging support of the Equal Rights Amendment, equal pay for equal work. Duh. A clear issue of justice that is still being questioned and debated. Slavery was one of the most difficult and divisive issues in the history of this country. And what was the response of our predecessor denominations? They not only ministered to the captives of the slave ship Amistad, they formed committees, raised money, and fought for their release and return to Africa, taking the case all the way to the Supreme Court. They were insistent and confident that no one should have ownership over any human being. Members of our churches were active in the Underground Railroad, and the formation of the United Church of Christ in 1957 came into being on the very cusp of the turbulent 60s. And the United Church of Christ again took a stand. Members of our churches marched and stood firm in their support for civil rights for African Americans. While far from perfect, the UCC has worked and continues to work on being a multiracial and a multicultural church, valuing, respecting, and supporting diversity and cultural differences in our society, in our world, and hopefully in our churches. And yes, the United Church of Christ has been a leader in the fight for equal rights for GLBT persons in our country and the world. While the news in Oklahoma a couple of weeks ago was incredible, the UCC has been on this journey for a long time, ordaining the first openly gay man in 1977 and voting to support marriage equality for same-gender couples back in 2005. This is the body of Christ that you as individuals and as a congregation are part of, a denomination committed to justice, to living our faith in the public square, to standing with the oppressed, to standing with and for those who are too often pushed to the margins, to speaking out even when the cost is huge. You know, those who want to romanticize the UCC may forget that there is a cost to discipleship. There was a cost to voting for marriage equality back in 2005. We lost churches and members and money, but it was the right thing to do. Discipleship isn't always easy, and it is rarely cheap. But taking risks for the gospel is who we are as the United Church of Christ. And I hope that you are encouraged by knowing that you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who stood for justice and inclusion as an expression of their faith. I hope that you will know that because they did, maybe you can today and continue to make a difference in the world. As a congregation, you are in a time of change and transition. That's what interim times are. You have had a wonderful history of ministry since 1997, but now is the time to think anew about where God is calling you. You are not alone in this effort and in this time of discernment. You have good leaders. I will be supporting and working closely with the search committee as they search for new leadership. And there are many, many resources to support your ongoing ministry. Most of them are here in this room, embodied in the gifts in each of you. Gifts that we have been given, as Paul reminds us, for the common good. In the months ahead, as the time of transition continues and as the conversation is about the future intensify, and as the search committee begins its work, I hope you will remember that God is in the very midst of this work and ministry, and that your job, our job, is to do our part, to use our gifts as part of the body of Christ to spread the good news of God's extravagant welcome and amazing grace. For you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Amen.
Thank you.